Good morning, everyone. If you would join me in a brief word of prayer. Father God, we just give thanks this morning, come together to worship you, to seek your ways through your word, and would you help us to understand and come up with a way to apply scripture today, and we desire for your word to transform us and renew our minds. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you turn with me to Proverbs, we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. And just a little bit about the Proverbs that we're about to read. So the Proverbs, the verses are kind of paired as couplets. So that means, verse 1 and 2, you can see them as a pair, a couplet, and then 3, 4, 5, 6. And in this couplet, it has two parts. So usually the first verse has an admonition. For some reason, I can't say the word. Am I saying it right? And so what that is it's kind of advice, like you should do this, right? And then the second part of the couplet, it's the result of following the admonition. And just so you know, a proverb, it's a little different from, say, like the commandments that God gives, because it's like good advice, right? So the equivalent would be something like a contemporary proverb would be like, an apple a day keeps a doctor away, right? We hear that all the time. And we know just because you eat an apple doesn't mean you're not going to get sick. But most of us would agree that if you eat an apple, if you eat fruit, it's probably going to be good for you and it's good for your health and you're not going to have to go see the doctor, right? But we recognize it's not an absolute, right? And so same thing with Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is written / compiled by King Solomon. So it was common for, at that time, kings, royalty, that they would create their own collection of proverbs. So there might have been, like, you know, King David has his own set of proverbs. It was common for, like, kings of the ancient Near East to have a set of proverbs that they collected over time. So not all these proverbs were necessarily written by King Solomon. I'm sure a lot of it was, maybe the majority, but it was something he collected over time and is the wisdom that was passed down from generation to generation. And so this book, and then right here you can see in verse 1, later, he says, my son. So it was written to his son. It's like a father's wisdom that is passed on to his son. And I'm sure all fathers have their own, maybe they don't have their own book of personal proverbs because they use the book of Proverbs. But I'm sure they have their own proverbs that they say, you know, son, you know, if you work hard and you don't give up, you'll overcome. Like, I don't know, something like that, right? So that's kind of what the proverbs are. It's a passing on of wisdom. And so it is for, even right now, Jews from all generations, the book of Proverbs was a book that they would teach their children because it's part of that learning, coming of age lessons. And the hope was someday when they were adults and they're on their own and they're no longer being taught the Proverbs, that they would remember the Proverbs. Because the Proverbs, it's kind of easy to like, kind of like apple day keeps the doctor away. Like, it has a rhythm to it. So it's easy to remember and memorize. So just keep that in mind. Remember, it's couplets. Starts with a admonition. can't really. And then the result, right? So let's start at verse 1. It says, "My son," so he's talking to his son, King Solomon, "do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. And the result is, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will be added to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Amen. Amen. So let's just go through it from the top. So he's speaking to the son, "Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." So the word "forget," another way to interpret that is don't cease to care. Don't forget, right? That's what happens when you forget, right? And he's saying, don't forget my teachings. My teachings being not King Solomon's personal, like, not just him, but he's talking scripture. Don't forget about scripture word. And then it says, "But let your heart keep my commandments." And so when you're talking about your heart, it's what it's saying is we need to treasure these commandments, right? We need to treasure this advice, this scripture. Don't forget it and keep my commandments. So there's two parts here. When you're talking about the heart, you're talking about the intent, right? And when you're talking about commandments, you're talking about the action. So we need to do both. It's not enough to just believe, right? We can't just believe. A lot of people believe, but are you gonna also do what you believe? It takes action, right? We can say, I mean, this is an extreme example. You could say Satan, he believes in Jesus, right? He knows that Jesus is real. He knows the scripture. But would you say he does the action of what he, I guess, if he really believed it, he would do the action, right? He would approach things very differently. And then on the other side of just believing, you can't just do the action either, right? Jesus, as he's on the Sermon on the Mount, what he's basically sharing, a big part is your actions aren't enough. And that was a problem with the Pharisees, right? They did the action, but there was no heart. There was no love in what they did. And so there needs to be both. There needs to be the intent and there needs to be the action. And it's interesting, when this happens, when you follow God's commands and his scripture and your heart is in it and the action is in it, what happens? It says, "For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." It's kind of an odd thing, right? Really? Basically, you're going to have quantity of life and quality of life. You're going to live long, and it's going to be a good life. And how I take it is, it's when those things of, when our heart, our intent, and our actions, they don't match, that's when it really messes us up, right? Because when that happens, when you're doing something in your life, and you don't know why, that's when you get stressed. That's when you have no purpose, right? That's when you get bitter. Not just you don't know why, but you get bitter because you're like, oh, I'm being forced to do this. I don't know why, right? And my advice is that's not, don't quit. Like if you're like in the marketplace right now and you're like, oh, I'm just, what am I doing? Like PCM shared about, like, you know, if you're a banker and you're just like, why am I doing this? Don't quit, but figure out why, right? And if you recognize the why and the what you're doing, they don't match, then, you know, don't rush, but then maybe consider, yeah, maybe doing something different. We see a lot of times people do change their jobs. But when those two are aligned, you know, even if it's something really difficult, right? Even if it's really hard, if you have the, you know why you're doing it, you have the heart, and you're doing it, and you're doing it for the Lord, then it's glorious. Even if it's hard, you can still have joy in what you do. And the result, and again, this is not like 1 + 1 = 2, right? Like I shared with the Proverbs. The likeliness you're setting yourself up is you're going to live a long life, peaceful life, versus, I mean, hopefully you can agree, like, yeah, if you live a very anxious, stress, bitter-filled, drama-filled life, it's probably going to shorten your lifespan and make your life not very pleasant. Okay? Next, it says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of man. I like this. It's a good reminder. There's so many things that we want to live for. And so let me ask you a question. What do you want to be known for? Right? And here, I mean, just to make it clear, it says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. I think that's how what we should strive for, right? I mean, there's many Christian principles, but I'm talking about it's talking about your reputation with man, right? So like, how do you want to be seen by another, from your colleagues, your friends, your people, other people? It should be kindness, right? Hopefully it's, I would love to, like, if someone said, this is probably not true, or I shouldn't say not true, but it's probably not what people say, but I would, it's something I do want, is like, it's like, oh, Pastor Kenny, he's so kind to me. Right, I think sometimes I can be a little harsh, but actually, I think that's the value I would want, kindness. Because, you know, I think of Bob Sorge, right? I was like, oh, he's so kind. It's more than just, it's like, I don't even know how to describe kindness. Well, actually, I do. What is kindness? I think it's someone who's merciful. Right? Someone who extends mercy. Because how you experience kindness is when you feel like, and I'm not saying you have to sin, right? But it's like when someone treats you in a way that you feel like, oh, I don't even deserve it. So it could be you did something wrong, or it's, oh, I just met you. And the way they treat you is beyond what you deserve, right? And that's mercy. And we need to do that, especially when we've been wronged. If you want to bring transformation, you know, if you have an issue with someone, you got to go in with kindness, right? The Bible scripture says it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not, it doesn't say, oh, it's because he is almighty, he's not El Shaddai, and so that's why you must repent. Thus says, I mean, that's part of it, right? Because he's God, we're not. But it's really his kindness that touches our heart that causes us to change, right? And so if we want to impact people, and it says, it's kindness, and then there's truth. Those things together. So being, just because you're kind doesn't mean you glaze over the truth, right? It doesn't mean you're a, what's it called? You get walked over, right, and bullied. It's not that. You're still being truthful. What you think, what your convictions are, what you see is what you get, right? And I think that's a big part of it, because how, like, yeah, if someone's kind, but you know they're two-faced, they're manipulative, then that's no good. You need to be, what that does is, someone who's kind, but with that truth, is someone who's sincere, right? So that they can be trusted, okay? And as the result, it says, you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And especially in light of, we've had a series of messages on the marketplace, God in the work. Yeah, we need to conduct ourselves in this way, right? We can't be rude. We can't lose our temper. And then what do you think is going to happen when you invite someone to church? They're like, oh, it's okay. It's not even necessarily a God thing. They just don't want to be around you. It's like, I experienced an unpleasantness to you all week. Why would I want to go with you to church? Right? So with that kindness, that favor comes. Okay? And then let's look at verse 5. This is our GIC verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will make your paths straight. So when we're talking about trust, what we're talking about, it's relationship, right? It's relationship is what builds trust. It's not a blind trust. And so when you're talking about someone who is trustworthy, who's worthy to be trusted, is because they've done stuff in the relationship where they've earned that trust and built it up. And you can't trust everybody. That's just not wise, because some people aren't trustworthy. And so trust and faith are closely connected. And we see when we're talking about trusting in the Lord, and you got to think, like, you know, for us as Christians, when we say, oh, trust in the Lord, and there's many testimonies of maybe where you've built up that trust to look back, and you're like, oh, yeah, I do trust God. But the ultimate for us is Jesus dying on the cross for us while we were still sinners. So all of us at least have that. But for the Jews, like, I guess their ultimate would be looking at the Exodus. And they're like, oh, the covenant that was formed and kind of the culmination of that happening and he rescuing the Jews out of Egypt. And so for them, it's a thing of remembrance. It's not just when we say, trust in the Lord, do it blindly. Like, just force it. It's a command. Because again, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's also talking about your intent and heart. It's kind of funny because it's like we take this almost as a command. Trust in the Lord, we must do this. But it's actually something you can't force. You can't force love. You can't force trust. It's done through relationship. But it says we must do it with all our heart. So we really, if we're not in a place of trust, unfortunately, you can't just repeat this passage over and over again to build that trust. Maybe that's a starting point. But you have to start to go through, why is it I don't trust? What's going on? Let me go back to the Word. Let me go back into remembering why God is trustworthy to get to a place where I can trust God with all my heart. And then it says, do not lean on your own understanding. I mean, you can't rely on yourself. Trust in God fully. Don't be completely reliant on yourself, what you think. Recognize, humble yourself that you could be the one. You could be making mistakes. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And that's to acknowledge that he's the supreme one, that he's the one in control, that he is the Lord. You know, we call him Lord, right? And so if we call him Lord, we need to let him be the Lord. And then he will make your path straight. Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of a person plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. He will make your path straight. John 14:26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. So there's many ways that he makes your path straight. The Holy Spirit, reading the word, the scripture, through prayer, God just brings revelation. It can be through community. And I think that's probably, to me, the best way of, okay, there's no best way, but I think that's a really great way, and I think it's pleasing to God. What I mean is, you have questions, you have, you know, you're trying to hear the will of God for your life or for other things, if it could be for the church. How do you know it is? And if you hear from God, should you be like, this is the will of God, I'm right, you're wrong? Is that what it means? No. I mean, I think that's why we have community. Instead of, if you have things that you're praying about, I think a better way, personally, than laying down a fleece, which I feel like laying down a fleece, that's where you set conditions to say, oh, this is your will, God. Because, you know, especially if you speak it out loud and you share with people, I'm laying a fleece, the devil could hear that. And then he could lay down those fleeces, right? And you're kind of sometimes leaving it to chance. You're forcing God's arm, like, and usually our fleece we lay down is for something like we don't want to do, if that makes sense. It's never what we, like, for instance, like, oh, I feel like God called me to say, God calls me to be a house church leader. And, you know, there's a pressure. We always lay a fleece, like a tough fleece, like, oh, if this happens, then I'll be a house church leader, versus if this happens, then I won't be a house church leader. It's always so we don't do it. But my thing is, God's already talked to you. Because usually we already know, but we just don't want to do it. That's why we lay a fleece. I think a better way, instead of laying a fleece, is you have other brothers and sisters pray alongside. Let that fleece be confirmation of the word through community who also pray and hear from God, right? Let them have a peace about what you're going to do. That's my personal proverb. And then verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And this, back to the first one, I mean, the result is also bodily care. And this is kind of a response to lean not on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I mean, the reality is we're all fallible, right? We're all human. We need to humble ourselves, recognize we could always be wrong, even when it comes to hearing the voice of God. There's always a chance that you could be wrong. And that's why, again, I feel you need community, right? Sometimes, you know, when you don't get enough sleep, when you're in a stressful situation, when you're emotional, we can think we hear from God. But in fact, I'm not saying you don't, but sometimes it's hard, right? It says, the Bible says, we need to be of sober spirit. That's more than just alcohol. It's our emotions. It's getting enough sleep. In my GIC class, someone pointed out, yeah, actually, if I don't get enough sleep, I'm really messed up, right? And so all those things, we need to just be humble. Do not be wise. He says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And so he's talking to his son. And I feel like this reminds me of like a teenager, right? You just, like, where you're not interested in what your parents' advice or what they're saying. You feel like, yeah, I got it. I heard it a million times, right? And you're just not interested. You turn away. Like, that's kind of the attitude. But here it says, don't turn away. Fear the Lord. And what does fear the Lord mean? I think of, what is fear of man? It's clear. It's you worry too much of what people think of you, right? What they think, what they do, how they judge you, like, really affects you. It gives you value. So that's not good. What you want is fear the Lord, fear of the Lord. So what God thinks, you want to please him. What he thinks is what is going to give you value. So that's how I kind of understand fear of the Lord, instead of like, when we think of fear, that's like being scared, right? And then verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And so this is first fruits. This is a tithe, right? And it's really an act of worship. That's what tithe is. It's an act of worship. In Exodus 25, 1-2, it says, the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. And so imagine, they had nothing, really. They just left Egypt, and they've everything that they have, which basically, they basically plundered from the Egyptians, although the Egyptians gave them all their gold and of things of value to the Israelites willingly. It's like a weird thing that happens, right? Clearly, God did this. So everything they have is from God, and they recognize it. And the response they want to do to acknowledge, what's the best way to respond to God when he's given you everything? I mean, a thank you is nice, but the best way is you give part of that to God, right? And that's what this was. That's what tithe is. And so, you know, we have no problem with communion. God says, do this in remembrance of me, right? For what he did on the cross. That's kind of what tithe is. It's an act of worship. It's an act of remembrance. And so it's kind of like you're thinking, like the Israelites, when we tithe, oh, like God, you've given me everything, and I want to give this offering. Because when you give offering, it's something intentional. It's not just something that happens, right? It's a choice. You have to like write a check. You have to take out money. And hopefully, when you do that process, it's also an act of worship. And so tithing, just to be clear, I personally don't think it's part of the old laws, the old covenant. So if you don't do it, it's not necessarily a sin. Necessarily. What I mean is, there's still the spirit behind it. And Jesus, I think in some ways, how he fulfilled the law was not just, oh, give 10%. How he fulfilled it is, your whole life belongs to him, 100%. So in some ways, it's even higher, but you technically don't have to do 10%. So my question would be to you, like, if you're not tithing, how are you expressing it? How are you expressing, everything I have belongs to you? Maybe you do it in other ways, I don't know. But in some ways, the easiest way is just to do this 10%. And when you do it, it's like, Lord, you know, I should give you 100%, but you graciously are just allowing me to just give 10%. So I give this to you to acknowledge and to recognize your goodness, your faithfulness, that you are my provider. So I want to invite Matthew up. And there's a lot of wisdom here, but I think I want to just go back to verse 3's admonition to basically be kind. Let kindness and truth be bound around your neck. It says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Let there be a desire that you would be a kind person. You would treat people in a kind way. That you would be merciful. When people deserve wrath, you would extend mercy. That's what God did for us. Right? This is a character of who God is. He's kind. Kindness is not weakness. In fact, I would say it's a show of strength that you don't need to prove yourself, right? You don't need to take matters into your own hand. And so let's let's be kind. Let's pray for that character of God to overflow in our lives, that we would... It's kind of almost like a radical middle. It seems like two different things, but they're the same. Kindness and truth. That we would be real, but we would deliver the truth in a way that would be kind, that it would be receptive, that it would be... People would feel understood, cared for, that there's sincerity and real care when we're being kind. But let's go before the Lord.
singing, holy is the Lord. Singing, holy is the Lord.
Let's turn to our screens. Let's cover our community. Let's pray for those loved ones who are going through cancer, who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing, for God's strength, for His comfort and presence to be with them. Cover those who are suffering from illness and in need of a word of salvation. Let's pray for opportunities. Let's pray for friends and families to be able to have opportunities to share and have the boldness to share. Let's pray for healing and restoration. Let's also pray for those suffering from infirmities. Pray for those looking for jobs. Let's go to our Tuesday prayers. Let's cover Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, wealth gap, revival, churches, Sports Service International, Shanti, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's cover Hong Kong. Next, let's pray for our staff. You can see everyone listed up there. You can pray for staff unity, for good relationships, love. Oh, you can pray for the kindness and truth for our staff. And yeah, just cover us. Pray for our hospitality ministries, welcoming led by P. Andrew and Barista led by Caleb. Cover our worship. We can pray for P. Nate, who leads worship, sound, Conrad, and the AV team led by me. Pray for just a good heart as we lead these teams, and for all the team members as well. Also pray for the pregnancies at SP. Let's cover Vivian, although she gave birth already, so praise God. Please continue to pray for Ezra. And also you can pray for Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Yiling, and Jade, and other moms. Father, Lord, give thanks for your wisdom. Lord, I just pray that we could, just like in your Proverbs, that we could hold on to your commands, that we would have your word be what leads us, not ourselves, that we would have humility, that we will really exhibit your character of kindness and truth as we go out into the world and our marketplace, that we would treat each other with kindness and truth. And so pray for your blessing over everyone today, that Holy Spirit, you would be the one who would lead us. That kindness, yes, it would be an intentionality, but it really flow out of your power. It would lead through your leading, come from your leading, God, that we would exhibit your character of being so kind, so merciful, full of grace, abundant in grace. So we thank you, Lord, for your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.